Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Lutheran Church in Nigeria is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. If you live in the area, we'd love to invite you to come along to a service. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 for the divine service of worship. If not, go to our directory, lutheran.co.uk. Click on it and see where the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live is located. And I encourage you to go along and pay them a visit. We'd also like to thank you for your prayerful and financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. We're deeply appreciative for all of those who regularly pray for us and financially support us. Today, we'd like to welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor, the most reverend Archbishop Christian Ekong of the Lutheran Church, Nigeria, as we speak about the church body he serves. Archbishop Ekong, welcome.
Thank you, John, Chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in England. God bless you.
It is a pleasure to have you with us today, and we'd love to hear more about the Lutheran Church of Nigeria. Would you mind giving us a short history of the church body?
The Lutheran Church of Nigeria is one of the two major Lutheran churches in Nigeria. We have the Lutheran Church of Christ in Nigeria, which is located in the northeastern part of Nigeria, which is presently greatly affected by the activities of the Boko Haram, although there has been the intervention of the Nigerian military, again, to the glory of God. We are in the south region of Nigeria, and that is the region that is known generally as the Niger Delta region of Nigeria. And why are we there? Some 73 years ago, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, through her missionaries, started the pioneering work, which actually was through the instrumentality of my late grandfather, late Reverend Dr. Jonathan Odoikong, who traveled to United States to study agricultural science. But after his degree in agricultural science, he got across the African-American Lutherans who actually wanted to do mission work, and he identified with them the need to bring mission work to Nigeria. And that's how the late Reverend Noor came to Nigeria, and specifically to Ibesigbo and Oburidom. After their pioneering job or work, Jonathan returned to Nigeria as a pastor trained in the United States, a Lutheran pastor for that matter, and continued what he actually had initiated. And that's why in the Lutheran Church of Nigeria, we uphold as the founder, Reverend Dr. Jonathan Ekong Late. So it has been a wonderful mission work since 1936, to be precise. And the Lutheran Church has grown from initial 16 congregations of Ibesigbo United Church to what is now the Lutheran Church of Nigeria, with over 400 congregations. And I can again say, from a small clan in the country of Nigeria, a clan of Ibesigbo, to over 19 states of the Federation, or 20 states of the Federation, and the capital city, Abuja. That's precisely the states of the Federation that we have founded Lutheran Church of Nigeria.
How many pastors do you have? And how many church members are there?
Presently, we can count up to 143,000 members. And we are again in the many ethnic groups of the country. And it's a spread, although we do not have membership in the western part of the country, which is predominantly Yoruba speaking. That is the area that we have been reaching out to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to help us with missionaries so we can again go in to see how we can reach out to the Yoruba speaking Nigerians to join the Lutheran Church of Nigeria. We have a pastor, a Yoruba speaking pastor, but to us, that's not enough. We need somebody to really sharpen him to be effective. And of course, in Africa, in Nigeria, we have respect for the white skin. And we believe that if a white skin stands behind a local pastor, the ministry will be respected, will be honored, will be kind of seen as a serious ministry, you know. So we again are optimistic that our requests to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will be granted in this direction.
You serve as the Archbishop of this church body, so can you tell us about how you became the Archbishop of the Lutheran Church in Nigeria and how the church is structured?
Before now, we had been having presidents as heads of the church, and we ended at having district superintendents. And as day went by, we were creating districts and circuits. And I found out that with up to about 50-something districts and about 13, 14, 15 circuits, getting up to about 70, and these units would hold their annual conventions, the president must address these conventions. And we are having how many weeks? We are having 52 weeks in a year, but these are about 70-something units. How does it work to speak with them, speak to them, be with them? And the first thing that came to my thinking was there had been agitation by past presidents for restructuring of the church so that the church would go Episcopal. Well, then, by the time I came in, I knew actually some of our presidents were already addressed bishop because of even the, you know, this religious setting in Nigeria, that if you say you are president, you are not seen as a religious leader. You are seen as a political leader. Political leaders or religious leaders in the church should be bishops. They should be bishops. They should be archbishops. They should be prelates, primates, and all of that. Those were ecclesiastical in Nigerian setting and Africa as well. So addressing the president of the church or the head of the church president was not welcomed at all. And reverends were equally seen as small pastors, not heads of churches. That had been one of the reasons why, in some cases, past heads of churches were answering bishops. And so we thought it would be proper to put things in their right perspective. We had the title of Most Reverend to our presidents and vice presidents. And of course, ecclesiastically, those are addressed to archbishops. And that informed me to say, why would we not formalize this whole thing by restructuring the church so that the head of the church would be addressed archbishop, and then we kind of create units that would group some of these districts that are kind of proliferated into a unit that is stronger. So we grouped all of the about 70-something units into 14 units. So those district circuits now coming together became zonal superintendencies. So we had 14 zonal superintendencies headed by zonal superintendencies that are bishops. And they are at that level addressed right reverence, while president is the president and archbishop with the title most reverend. And so easily I can address 14 units, 14 heads, and allow the 14 units through their heads to go down to address few districts or circuits within their jurisdiction. So it has again given me time to do other pastoral works, like, you know, I can go to dedicate a church, I can go to visit the sick, you know, a lot of pastoral care could now come in. I can also have the time to really be with the people, take time to discuss issues, and also give attention to international relations, like doing the, you know, the collaboration work with the International Lutheran Council and Lutheran World Federation, which I am also the sub-regional head in Central and Western Africa, and the head, the chair in the African region of the International Lutheran Council. So it's been quite a helpful system, but since it is new, they aren't without challenges. Some people are agitating that it is an attempt to sit tight in the office, and you know, to the younger pastors with self-ambitions and all of that, they would feel, oh, by the time he's there, others will not be able to, you know, ascend to leadership position. And but the constitution at the moment makes it that the archbishop stays for in office for 5 years and could be re-elected. But some members of the church who before now were not very comfortable that there are elections in the church, an opportunity for politicking and all sorts of vices, have said, if we are adopting a seeming episcopacy system, then why election? Why can't we bring in somebody into the office and allow him to lead and retire and go? So they said, we need to look into this constitution and review it again. So that is again what many people, mostly pastors, are kind of getting the support of some lay people to begin to worry themselves about, which to us as a church is not an issue, because it was the decision of council, which is the highest decision-making body of the church, that we should look into these kind of things. You know, change is not easily accepted. It's not a friendly thing, even though it would come out good. You know, so we look at it that it is a challenge, but the important thing is, may not be in my time, but we're trying to see how to put the church in its perspective, looking at the society, the Nigerian society we find ourselves. So we're looking at that the Lutheran Church of Nigeria has to be relevant.
You were talking about missions, so I'm assuming that you mean being relevant means reaching out with the gospel and touching people's lives with the message of Jesus Christ and meeting their physical needs and spiritual needs. Can you tell us more about the mission work of the Lutheran Church Nigeria?
We are working in the area of international missions. We are collaborating with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to continue working in the Gambia and Jamaica. Within the country, we are opening mission stations, and we support our pastors through our outreach scheme, and we are planning to reach all of the states of the Federation that we have not been there, and our target is the next 10 years, and we consider the Islamic, the challenge of Islam, economy, and all other things, and socially, we are presently running our high schools, and we've encouraged our congregations to establish nursery primary schools so that our children are catechized, in Lutheran teachings. We are planning for a university, Lutheran University, the first, by the grace of God, in West Africa. And we are also into mercy, the work of mercy, through Lutheran Malaria Initiative in every zonal convention, considering the 14 zones of the Federation of the Lutheran Church of Nigeria. In every zonal convention, we facilitate a free malaria clinic. Even though we say free malaria clinic, when other ailments are identified, we refer them. Some could be surgery, and once that's done, the church takes care of the medical bills of such persons. Along with malaria, we treat diabetes, we treat hypertension, we treat arthritis, and all of those, small ailments.
A very strong medical and educational mission.
That's really the area of need as far as our people are concerned. There's poverty greatly in Nigeria. And if you do something good in the area of education and also assist in healthcare, definitely, you've touched lives.
You mentioned in your 10-year plan the possibility of reaching out to Muslims. Has your church been affected by the recent violence reported in Nigeria?
Actually, we have congregations in the northern part of the country. We have congregations in Jos and the environs up to Kaduna State, which there are Christians, but there are also Muslims, we are in Abuja, Christians, there are Muslims. So we're looking at going into states like Kano, Katsina, Sokoto, and you need resources, human and material, to be able to move into those places, So that's again the challenge, but we will continue.
How do church members and their Muslim neighbors live together? Can you give us some helpful advice as to how we might effectively witness to our Muslim neighbors?
These Muslims are Nigerians. We buy this from the same market. We are in the same school. We work in the same offices. So we coexist. It depends greatly on the fact that they need to be respected, even in their faith. And that's why, to me, the important aspect of our witness is our life together with them. I know that a lot of times they get back to their mosque, plan mischief, and execute them. But, of course, witnessing Christ will definitely be met with challenges. But I am seeing that where we use the free medical, activities, where we use educational facilities, we can continue to witness, because they will come to our universities. They will come to our high schools. So it's possible. They need the education. They need the healthcare. We buy from the same market. So every opportunity is an opportunity to witness Jesus in our lives.
You mentioned some challenges, like establishing new churches in different locations and establishing a university. It sounds like there are some big plans for the future. But what do you consider the biggest challenges for the Lutheran Church Nigeria to be?
We have opportunity in education, because the Lutheran Church globally is a church of enlightenment. Look at the Reformation. This is an advantage everywhere that the Lutheran Church has. And in Nigeria today, in the southeastern part or south-south region of Nigeria, once you talk of Lutheran High School, Obodidan, you are respected as one who had been trained there. And so we want to make sure that we build on that name, use education to make the impact from nursery to high school to the university, with our seminary in between.
Can you tell us something about your seminary?
Presently, our seminary is the strongest in West Africa. It's the strongest Lutheran seminary in West Africa. And I would say in Africa, because though we are not offering degree, we are the largest in terms of student population. There's no seminary, Lutheran seminary in Africa, that's confessional Lutheran seminary in Africa, that has 70 and above students like we have. That again is the powerhouse of the Lutheran Church of Nigeria.
There might be some people who would say, how can a 16th century monk who taught in a small German town relate to 21st century Nigerians? Kenny?
Is it the country or the word? It is the word that we are looking at. And when we are talking of theology, we are looking at the understanding of the law and gospel, and presenting that understanding of the law and gospel in its truth and in its purity to the people of Lutheran Church of Nigeria today, so that they would experience the grace of God in Christ Jesus. It makes no difference. So to me, the Reformation loves on. The Reformation loves on every day, which again implies we learn lessons from the Reformation. The strong ones are meant to help us be stronger. The weak ones are meant to equally help us, so we abet those ones and continue to even be better than what it's been in those days.
You also serve as the regional representative of Africa on the International Lutheran Council's Executive Council. Can you tell us about some of your duties as Africa's representative on the ILC's Executive Council?
We've been working together with all these other regional heads and working with them empowers us to return to work with our regional ILC members. And in Africa, we have two church bodies from South Africa, Free Evangelical Lutheran Church in South Africa, FELCISA, and we have Lutheran Church in South Africa, or LUCA, LCSA, Lutheran Church in South Africa. We also have Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. We have Evangelical Lutheran Church in Ghana. And we have Lutheran Church in Nigeria. So you can see that we are just for now five Lutheran bodies making up the ILC Africa region. All of the these churches are doing well. Recently, we are bringing in two more churches. One would be Evangelical Lutheran Church in Liberia and Evangelical Lutheran Church in Sudan and Southern Sudan. Of course, that is kind of from the eastern region of Africa, while the other one is from the western region of Africa. So we're working to see how we bring more Lutheran churches into ILC as far as Africa is concerned. And what it means really is, again, emphasis on confessional Lutheranism. It works well, and our churches in Africa, some of our churches in Africa, appreciate it. So we're making impact, and we're trying to let our people see that confessional Lutheranism today is important.
As we close our interview, I'd like to ask you to give some encouragement to our listeners. As the Archbishop of the Lutheran Church Nigeria, what encouragement do you have for our listeners, especially those who have been suffering or weighed down with troubles?
You see, the promise of God to us is the comfort, the strength for each and every one of us. And it remains that God is faithful. And each and every one of us who believe in God by His special grace certainly will continue to experience God's great hands of mercy in our lives. The important thing is each day is a day we continue to love by the mercies, by the grace of God. God is alive. God is real. The grace of Jesus Christ is for each and every one of us who continue to appreciate what Jesus did on the cross. And that is our forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and salvation.
Archbishop Ekong, it's been a wonderful pleasure to have you with us today. The ELCE and the Lutheran Church Nigeria have had very close connections over the years with each other. In fact, your cousin Sunday Effiong is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, and we pray that God would continue to strengthen the relationship between our two church bodies as we work together to share the saving message of Christ with our world.
Thank you. Let me also use this time to thank the Evangelical Lutheran Church England for that wonderful gift of ICT, computers, internet to our seminary, and also for the opportunity that has been given to one of my pastors. I remember I signed the documents to get him out to Westfield House for theological study. I'm talking about Reverend Anitinto. He is still serving as a confessional Lutheran pastor. Thank you.
Again, Archbishop Ekong, thank you for being our guest. And please take our greetings with you to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lutheran Church Nigeria.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.